Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. More and More and More, an All-Consuming History of Energy is a history and climate analysis book by Jean-Baptiste Fressoz that challenges the familiar story of energy progress. Rather than presenting human history as a sequence of clean replacements, from wood to coal, to oil to nuclear, and then to renewables, the book argues that energy systems have typically accumulated on top of one another. Fressoz shows that modern industrial society has relied on overlap, dependency, and material symbiosis, with older energy sources continuing to matter even as new ones emerged. The result is a revisionist account of fossil fuels and industrial development that is meant to unsettle easy language about transition. The book is aimed at readers interested in climate change, environmental history, and energy policy, and it is designed to clarify why decarbonization is far more difficult than standard narratives suggest. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book rejects the standard story of neat energy transitions. Fressoz begins from a direct challenge to a widely repeated assumption that history moves through orderly energy replacements. In the familiar version, societies shift from wood to coal, then to oil, then to nuclear power, and eventually to renewables. The book argues that this model is misleading because it treats energy history as a series of clean handoffs rather than a process of accumulation. Coal did not simply erase wood, and oil did not fully displace coal. Instead, each new source entered a system already shaped by older ones, which remained economically and materially necessary. This matters because the transition narrative can make decarbonization appear historically normal, when the book claims it is actually unusual. By dismantling the idea of automatic progress, Fressoz pushes readers to see energy change as a political and material struggle rather than a simple stage of modernization. Secondly, energy sources function as interdependent systems rather than competitors. One of the book's central analytical moves is to show that energy sources have often worked together instead of replacing one another. Fressoz describes a world of symbiosis in which wood, coal, oil, and later energy forms reinforce each other through infrastructure, extraction, and industrial use. For example, forests were used to support coal mining, coal remained necessary for manufacturing many products, and oil became embedded in everyday life across transport, chemicals, and consumption. This interdependence is important because it explains why energy use keeps expanding even when new technologies appear. A new source does not automatically reduce demand for the old one. It often adds another layer to an already growing system. The book uses this insight to argue that modern energy history is better understood as cumulative and additive. That perspective is more demanding than the usual transition story because it forces readers to account for the material stickiness of industrial systems and the persistence of old dependencies. Thirdly, fossil fuel expansion is tied to industrial material growth, not just electricity or transport. Fressoz broadens the discussion beyond the narrow idea that energy history is mainly about power generation. The book links fossil fuels to the production of the modern material world itself, including manufacturing, mining, shipping, construction, and consumer goods. Coal and oil are presented as foundational inputs to the systems that make modern life possible, which means their significance cannot be measured only by looking at electricity grids or vehicle fuel. This wider framing is crucial because it reveals how deeply fossil fuels are embedded in industrial society. Even efforts to build cleaner energy systems still depend on extractive industries, heavy materials, and complex supply chains. The book therefore suggests that climate policy has to confront not just emissions, but the full material structure of modern consumption. By treating energy as part of industrial metabolism, Fressoz explains why fossil fuel dependence is so durable and why simply adding low-carbon energy does not automatically reduce overall demand. Fourthly, the transition idea itself is shown as a political narrative with a delaying function. A striking argument in the book is that the language of transition was not originally a neutral description of historical reality. Fressoz shows that energy companies help promote the idea in ways that could postpone real change. In this reading, transition language has often served as reassurance. It makes it seem as if societies are naturally moving toward a cleaner future, even when actual consumption continues to rise. This is a powerful critique because it shifts the issue from technological optimism to political strategy. The book does not deny that change can happen, but it warns that vague faith in transition may be disguised delay, self-congratulation, and inadequate policy. That point is especially relevant in climate debates where large promises can coexist with continued fossil fuel expansion. By tracing the ideological function of transition talk, Fressoz asks readers to distinguish between rhetorical commitment and material reduction. The book therefore reads less like a forecast and more like a critique of complacency. Lastly, the book implies that decarbonization must be unprecedented in scale and speed. Although the book is critical of simplistic transition stories, it is not an argument for despair. Instead, it highlights the exceptional difficulty of reducing fossil fuel dependence in a world built through accumulation. If older energy systems remain embedded in industry, then genuine decarbonization requires more than substituting one source for another. It demands coordinated change across infrastructure, manufacturing, transport, consumption, and policy. That is why the book emphasizes the unprecedented nature of the climate challenge. Historical precedent offers little comfort because previous energy changes were mostly additive, not subtractive. The practical implication is that solutions must be faster, broader, and more disruptive than conventional reform language suggests. Readers are pushed to think in terms of material restructuring rather than symbolic green substitution. This makes the book valuable, not only as history but also as a corrective to overly easy climate optimism. Its broader lesson is that solving the energy problem means confronting the scale of modern industrial dependence itself. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded challenge to common climate and energy assumptions. It will be especially valuable for students of environmental history, policy readers, journalists, climate advocates, and anyone frustrated by shallow discussions of the energy transition. Its main benefit is conceptual clarity. It explains why decarbonization is not simply a matter of swapping one fuel for another, but of confronting a deeply layered industrial system built through accumulation. That makes it useful as both an intellectual corrective and a practical warning. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is its refusal to comfort the reader with a familiar progress story. Instead of celebrating past transitions, it shows how fossil fuels and older energy sources have remained entangled, and how transition language can conceal delay. The book stands out for its materialist approach, its historical scope, and its insistence that climate action must be understood as unprecedented. Readers looking for a nuanced but uncompromising account of why energy change is so difficult will find it distinctive and memorable. If you would like to support Jean-Baptiste Fresseau's, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.